Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Kiddushin is daf Ayin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as long as Zechnish Maslibe Gavriela Bashmuel. We begin the Gemara today on Samach Tesamud Bey's continuation of the beginning of the fourth parak of Kiddushin, the Mishnah, on Samach Tesamud Aleph. Introducing us to the fourth parak of Kiddushin, fourth and final, is the opening words of Sar Yochsin Alulabavo. There were ten different categories of Yichus that came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Yesterday already went through the history in terms of Binyan Bayisheni, the construction of the second base of Mikdash. So Ezra and Nehemiah led the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. Now, in terms of leading the Jewish people, they led only a very small representation of the Jewish people. Most of the Jewish people ended up staying in Bavel. And all this is reported in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah. With that stated, we went through yesterday the 10 different yuchsin. The Mishnah pointed out that you could draw three circles around the yichus, so that in circle number one, as long as you share a circle with somebody, so then you can marry somebody within your circle. So Kohen Levi Yisrael with the first three, so circle that, and then circle two through six, and then circle the last five. And we went through the Mishnah yesterday, how if you are a member of one group, so you can marry somebody as long as he's within your circle. Okay, and again, for various reasons, you can't marry somebody out of your circle. Not to go through all that right now. The focus of the Gemara yesterday that we did was on the words "alu mi bavel." They went up from Bavel. So the Gemara yesterday talked about how Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other Aratzos, and that the Beis Hamikdash is higher and Yerushalayim is higher than all the other areas in Eretz Yisrael. So again, we're talking height over here. We could be talking about physical height, more probably talking about spiritual height, but that is one conversation the Gemara had yesterday. And the other discussion the Gemara had yesterday is a machlok between Abai and Rava in terms of the word alu. Does that mean that Ezra just allowed them to come up with them, or he'elu, which is the sheet of Rava? Rava says that Ezra took them together with him. In other words, he specifically went out of his way to take the... Now, I used the word yesterday, I'll use the word again today. I don't mean it. I don't mean it with any type of pejorative nature to it. It's just simply... It's just the facts. And that is the rejects. Meaning the... And I mean that in the most literal sense. Meaning, like the last two examples, Shesuki Vasufi. Kids who were rejected. Meaning kids on the street who we don't know who the mother is, we don't know who the mother and father are. So Ezra went out of his way to take them from Bavel and to bring him to Eretz Yisrael. And probably the strongest motivation to do so is so that basically Ezra would burden the responsibility of taking care of them. Meaning, if he knows that he, together with most of the Talmidei Chachamim, are going to be leaving Bavel and going to Eretz Yisrael, so who's going to watch out for them? Who's going to take care of them? And who's going to make sure that they're going to be able to get married, etc., etc.? So Ezra took them. This is the way Rava would explain it. And specifically, that went out of his way to take them and make sure that they would come together to Eretz Yisrael with Ezra, and that they would be cared for. Okay, Kahani Levi Yisrael. Okay, we are now in the middle of Samach Tesamud Beis at the two dots, and now we're starting the discussion of the Yichus. So we start off with the first three categories: Kohen Levi Yisrael, Minalan, Desliku. Now, how do I know? How do I know that they all came up? So Dichsiv VeYeshua Kohenim VeLevim VeNa'ama VeAmisharim VeAsharim VeHanesinim VeAreim VeChol Yisrael VeAreim. Okay, so the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Ezra. Right, we'll be going through a number of pasukim from Ezra today, in terms of identifying how we know that all 10 that were mentioned in the Mishnah, where can we find sources in the Navi that speaks to all the fact that all 10 of them are coming up? So the pasuk over here describes Kohen Levi and Yisrael. Now, again, we saw the Rashi yesterday. Rashi pointed out that the Levim that ended up going to Eretz Yisrael were they had mumim, they had blemishes. Right? The Rashi quotes the tragic episode in which the Levim that went up together with Ezra were unfit to do the avoda. They didn't have thumbs. Okay, we went through this yesterday.
But the whole thing with like having a blemish applies only to Kohanim. So why Levim also have that halacha that they have?
Blemish simply means they couldn't play the instrument. Correct. In other words, the word balmum is not exactly a word that you would normally associate with a Levi. Agreed. Chalali geri v'charure. Okay, we're up to the next examples now. Chalali minalan. Now again, what we're looking for is just simply psukim in the Navi that corroborate the Mishnah that tell us that all these different categories came up to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel. So how do we know chalal? The time the Gemara quotes the Brayso Rav Yosi Amar Gedola Chazaka. We have a principle called Chazaka. Chazaka is a presumptive state. And once you're in a presumptive state, that state perpetuates until you know definitively that that state changes. Okay, it's called Chazaka. The Gemara in Chulin, around Daf Yud, Yud Aleph, somewhere around there, discusses the sources of this idea of Chazaka. But right now, we're just highlighting in the Gemara that Chazaka is really powerful. Now, for the fact that the Gemara over here says that Gedola Chazaka, it means more than that we're just simply going to go with a presumptive state. Because then you could just simply say Chazaka. The fact that we're saying Gedola Chazaka means that there's something really special about it, and the Gemara is going to highlight exactly what that is. The Gemara quotes the Psukim. Shenemar b'nei Kohanim b'nei Chavya b'nei Akots b'nei Barzilai Asher lakach mimnos Barzilai ha-Giladi Isha v'yikra shmam. Ela b'kshu k'savam ha-misyachsim. Now these Kohanim, question was asked, do you have your genealogy chart? V'lo nimtzu, and these Kohanim did not have the genealogy chart. V'yigolam min ha-Kohuna, and they were to a certain degree rejected from the Kohen. Vayomer Hatashasa, and now Hatashasa said, I'm going to discuss in just a moment who that was. Vayomer Hatashasa lehem, asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakadoshim, adamot Kohen l'urim v'tumim. And so this individual said that they're not allowed to eat kodesh hakadoshim until we get clarification from the urim v'tumim. Okay, many interesting things in this pasuk over here, describing them. But right now, let us just stay on point in the Gemara, and that is, let us see exactly the point the Gemara wants to make regarding Chazaka, and I'll come back and I'll discuss some of the finer points over here. V'amalem harei atem becheskasem. And the Gemara says in the conclusion regarding these Kohanim who were unable to produce their genealogy chart, so this Hatashasa said to them, okay, but you know what? Status quo. You were able to eat truma previously, that meaning you have been eating truma all this time, so you are going to be able to continue eating truma even though you will be disqualified from eating other foods that are normally associated with Kohanim.
Isn't there a penalty?
So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Now there is a question of what gives a Kohen his status? And we saw this discussion earlier in Shas, and there are many opinions on this matter in terms of what exactly is a siman. What's a sign that tells us that this Kohen is in fact a Kohen? One of the signs, which happens to be a pretty good one, is if you see him eating truma. If you see a Kohen eating truma, so then by that alone is an identifying marker that he's in fact a Kohen miyuchas. So the Gemara is now asking, wait one second. If you're telling me that the genealogy is questionable, but based on Chazaka, because they ate truma in the past, you're going to allow them to continue to eat truma, but isn't that going to be a little counterproductive in that now people will see them eating truma and assume that they're calling on a miyuchasim? So the Gemara says, "Hani da'achol b'truma asal askinu shani hasam derei cheskasayu." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but I'm not worried about that in this particular scenario." Because, as Rashi points out over here, because they're not going to be eating kachim. Meaning they're specifically told not to eat kachim, so that will counterbalance the fact that, yes, they are eating truma, and normally eating truma is enough to identify which kohen is good, but they're not eating kachim. They're specifically told not to eat kachim, and therefore that'll put the counter pressure on. Okay. Now, so far, what we have in the Gemara is this idea that there's a thing called Chazaka. Because they don't have the pedigree that allows us to say that they are absolutely Kohanim, Miyuchasim, but still, Chazaka tells us that they have been eating Truma, therefore they're allowed to continue eating Truma. But the Gemara says, but we still haven't made the point yet, because the point was Gedola Chazaka. That it's not just enough that we have this idea of presumptive state, but rather, it's really powerful. How is it? How do you see over here that's really powerful? The Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, because as they were eating Truma, up until this point in time, they were only eating Truma Derabanan. Truma Derabanan, Rashi over here says, and you know Rashi is going to say this because he always says this, Truma Derabanan means all other fruits, meaning not grapes, not olives, not grain, but all other fruits are chayiv and Trumas HaMaisis, but only Midrabanan. So Rashi over here says that up until now they've been eating Truma Derabanan, but upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael and the presumption that they're going to continue eating Truma, they're allowed to eat even Truma D'Oraisa. So that is proving the point of Gedola Chazaka. Or the Gemara says, maybe no. Maybe that's saying a little too much. That the presumptive state is only going to allow them to eat Truma D'Rabanan. So the Gemara says, and as far as the siman that eating truma now makes him a qualified kohen, that's only if you see kohen eating truma deraisa, not if you see a kohen eating truma derabanan. So the Gemara says, now if this second position is correct, so then we lost our point. Our point we wanted to make was gedola chazaka. Previously we said they got upgraded from eating truma derabanan to Truma Daraisa. Now what we're saying is, no, they're eating the same Truma. So then what's Gedola Chazaka? Dimi Ikara Leka Lemigzah Mishum Truma Daraisa Levesof Af Agav Di'ika Lemigzah Mishum Truma Daraisa B'Dirabban Achol B'Daraisa Lo Achol. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how they got an upgrade. Because outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's no reason to make a gzera because all they had was Truma Derabanan. But upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael, well, now there's a possibility for them to eat Truma Daraisa, and one can imagine that now we should block them from eating Truma Derabanan because eating Truma Derabanan will lead to eating Truma Daraisa, i.e. there could have been a gzera being made. That's exactly why Chazaka is so strong that it would block a potential gzera. Now the Gemara says, V'haksiv, V'yomar tashas alehem asher lo yechlu mikodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says, now let's go back to that pasuk that we quoted earlier from Ezra that tells us that this hartashasa prevented them from eating Kodesh HaKadoshim, which sounds like that the only thing they were prevented from eating was Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they were allowed to eat Kodesh, and the Gemara assumes that means Truma. Hachi Kamar, the Gemara says, okay, but this is now the new pshat we're going to be saying in the pasuk. Lo midi de mikre Kodesh, v'lo mikre de mikre Kadashim. No, it's Kodesh Kadashim is not a reference to one item, it's a reference to two items. They're not allowed to eat Kodesh, and they're not allowed to eat Kadashim. Lo midi de mikre Kodesh, v'chziv v'chozar lo yochol Kodesh. Okay, this week's parsha. Good. Timely, so, and that's a reference to Truma. V'lamida demikre kadashim damakra uvas kon kisielizar he b'trumas hakadashim lo sochal. Okay, and again, so another pasuk that describes kadashim as carbon.
So the question was follow up in Nolam. How does that answer?
Because you had these kohanim, they were in.
Chalos can eat anything.
Chalos simply means that you're a kohen that you don't have the kedushas kahuna. So these group of Kohanim over here were Kohanim.
They were halal and they could eat Truma Midrabanan.
Right. So in other words, and it happens to be that the psak that was given to them is that they can continue eating Truma because that's what they've been doing in the past. But in terms of any of the other Matnas Kahuna, they were not entitled to. Okay, just an interesting point that I passed over earlier just to get through the Gemara. But now let's take a step backwards. We had this in the Pasuk in Ezra. We had an individual by the name of Hatashasa. And he was the one who gave the psak that allowed the Kohanim to maintain eating Truma even though they didn't have Yichus and even though they didn't have their pedigree and their genealogy, but he allowed them to continue eating Truma. Who is this Hatarshasa? Take a look at Rashi, the second wide line on Rashi, Nechemya ben Chachliai. Okay, so it's Nechemya, meaning of Ezra Nechemya fame. Now, he was the one who gave the psak. Kari came to Sefer Ezra. So, if you go through Sefer Ezra, you'll see that he's referred to as his Hatashasa. The name sounds Persian, does it not? Right, because that's where he came from. So, the Uvigmarz Yerushalmi Nimsa, Sha'al Shem Shaya, Mashkel HaMelech. Now, how do you get this name? So Rashi over here quotes a Gemara Yerushalmi, and it's an interesting Gemara Yerushalmi. And he says that he was the Mashkel HaMelech. He was the bartender to the king. Hayatzarich lishtos kodem shalo yichashtu Hashem hitil sam hamavis b'mashke. Now, as the bartender to the king, so king always worried about a good assassination, so he had the bartender drink the drink before giving it to the king. But this is wine. and this is wine that was handled by Goyim. So this is Stam Yenam. Now, we're not saying it's Yain Nesach, they weren't using it for Avodah Zarah, but doesn't matter. The Gzera de Rabbanan, as we learned in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, is that any wine that's handled by a non-Jew, we're not allowed to drink. That's called Stam Yenam. Okay, so how is he, the bartender, allowed to take a sip of the drink before giving it to the king? So how did he get the heter? I don't know. What I do know, however, is that he got the heter. A heter was given to him that allowed him to drink the wine before giving it to the king, and that's how he got the name Hatashasa. Hatashasa from the word Rishus, meaning he was granted special permission.
He did.
Right. He was given special permission. Okay. I don't know how the heter works, but okay.
But I know a Hasidic woman who for the Sotheby wine, whatever, she was also given a heter to
sip. Okay.
But, well, not to sip. She puts in her mouth.
Oh, she just put in her mouth. Oh, okay.
Just,
okay.
It's ironic because the Jews in punished for drinking from
Yes. Again, I'm reporting. I also found that it to be interesting. If Rashi quotes a Yerushalmi, I'm sure it's there. I didn't look it up. Okay. Gerei v'charurei. We are now in the Ayin Amud Aleph. We're on the very top of the Amud. And again, same as what we did before. Looking for Psukim in the Navi that actually identifies all these different groups came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and now we want Psukim that shows us that we had converts. Gerim are just regular converts, and Charurim are Evikananim that were freed, which are basically like converts. So they're similar, very similar to one another. Minalan Amar Chista Makros, the Gemara here quotes the pasuk from Ezra, V'chola Nivdo Mitumas Goyi Haaretz Aleihem. Okay, so there were people who were Mavdil, who left their non-Jewish lives, and probably also the non-Jewish wives, and came in and converted to Yiddishkeit. Okay, that's very straightforward. Mamzerim. How do I know that Mamzerim came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra? So this one's going to be a little bit trickier. Meaning there's nowhere in the Navi that says straight out, and there were Mamzerim who came up to Eretz Yisrael. So what the Gemara now is going to do is try to put together a couple of pieces of information in order to arrive at this conclusion that that there were Mamzerim who came up. So this is attempt number one of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to go through two attempts. I think the Gemara is going to be more satisfied with its second attempt than its first attempt. But here's attempt number one. So first of all, we have two personalities mentioned in the Navi. And the Gemara is just mentioning it now just to tell us that they were non-Jews. And uksiv karebim Yehuda balei shvoa lo ki chasan hu l'shechnaya ben orach v'yochanan ben lakach es bas mishalem ben brachya. So the Gemara then identifies a Jewish family living together in Eretz Yisrael, and the Navi Nehemiah, that's what Nehemiah, by the way, is one sefer, right? We broke it up into two, but really it's one sefer. So the Rashi makes that point a couple times in Shas. Anyway, so the Navi describes how basically these non-Jews, they were non-Jews. They were avadim. So these avadim were were married into this family. Now, the Gemara says we're going to subscribe to the viewpoint. When I say we, I don't mean you and I. But right now, in order to make this argument that there were mamzerim, so we're going to have to subscribe to the viewpoint that if you have a marriage between an Eved and a Jewish woman, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. Now, it happens to be that we don't paskal like this. This is not the Psak Halacha, but there is an opinion like that in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so now, if you put all this information together, that these avadim were married into this family, so it's a couple of men, avadim, married to Jewish women, so we're going to make a number of assumptions, that they had children, and we're going to subscribe to the viewpoint that the children are mamzerim, and that's the source in the Navi. So the Gemara says, first of all, it's a weak source. So the Gemara says, Hanich l'man d'amar havlad mamzer l'man d'amar havlad kasher ma'ikel ha'meimer. First of all, that's not the shita that we follow. The shita that we follow is that the resulting child of an Eved and a Jewish woman is the child is not a mamzer. Right? We just saw that in yesterday's daf. Visumi mai dahavale b'nei doma lo havale. And also from the Navi, the only thing we know is they got married. We don't know that they had children. That's an assumption that we made. But again, we want a proof from the Navi. And Visu mi dahacha havaluhu usliku dilmahasam havu. And furthermore, says the Gemara, look, we're trying to prove that they came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. That's the whole point of the Gemara, that they were asar yuchsim sha'alu mi Bavel. All we know is that Nechem is describing this family living in Eretz Yisrael. But you don't know they came from Bavel. So again, if what we're looking for is a clear source in the Navi that describes how there were Mamzerim who came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, we don't have it. So the Gemara says, that was attempt number one. No. Those are just a description of the Avadim who married into the family. In other words, these two Avadim married into the family. It was an Eved and the Eved's son who married into the family. Okay. Ela me'acha, so the Gemara says, fine. So we're going to now go to another pasuk. So this pasuk is not, it's not going to state it clearly. It's going to come out through drush. Ve'ela ha'olim itel melech tel chasha kruv adon. Ve'amar ve'lo yachlu la'agid beis avosam ve'zaram im mi'yisrael ha'im. So the pasuk, again, in Sefer Nehemiah, describes how you had families from these locations, strange locations we have not heard of, which then allows the Gemara to say, wait one second, the Navi is not giving us an actual geographic location. The Navi is trying to encrypt information for us, and we're going to darshan that pasuk, and we're going to see exactly what comes out from that pasuk. So families that come from these locations, we're going to darshan all these locations, three locations in total, and they didn't know their genealogy, and they didn't know whether they were from Yisraelim. And the Gemara goes on to explain, tell Malach Ela b'nei Adam, Shedom ma'asim la'maisa Sedom. These are the Tel Melach is a reference, and it's an allusion to people who behave like Sodomites. Shenef Chala Tel Melach. And the reference is very simple. It's referred to as a mound of salt. When you think of mound of salt, what do you think of? You think of stone? Okay. Take a look at Rashi over here, another very interesting Rashi for today. Rashi over here talks a little bit about Sodomite law. Sodomite law is has a distorted logic to it, that when you read it, you're like, that doesn't sound fair, and it does not only does it not sound fair, it isn't fair. So take a look at Rashi Lamaisa Stone. Rashi is the first wide line on the Amud. Shayu Megale Arayos Dichsiv Raim V'Chatim Raim B'Gufam V'Chatim B'Mamunam. So fine. So in terms of the general behavior of Sodomites, so I mean, we know this. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. So they were really bad. But okay, that's just simply saying they were really bad. What exactly does that mean? Vamrin bechelek. So now Rashi quotes the last paragraph of Sanhedrin, and demache isasa dechavre ve'umapila. Let's say this is Sodomite law. So let's say you have a man who hits a pregnant woman and causes a miscarriage. Amar lei. So here's his punishment: tehave gabech adama abra. So now you're going to have to take the injured party in, meaning as your wife, although she's already a married woman, so you're not really taking in as your wife, and you're going to impregnate her, and then you'll make up the loss that you created. Okay, that is Sodomite law. Now, there is no mamzeres when it comes to non-Jews, but, as Rashi points out over here, hari mamzerim legabe Yisrael, meaning had that been us, the resulting child would be a mamzer, meaning you're impregnating a married woman. The act of relations is an act of Eishes Ish, and the resulting child would be a mamzer. So that's a so it's not clearly stated in the psukim in Nehemiah, but putting all this together, so it gives us a sense that there were mamzerim who came up to Eretz Yisrael. Back to the Gemara. Tel Charasha. Okay, we're up to the second location that's mentioned in the pasuk in Nehemiah. And again, you know what we're going to do? We're going to darshan. Ze shekore abba v'ima mishtat kaso. So Charash over here means that he calls out to his father and his mother hushes him because it's not really his father. And so that from the word Charash. Charash means to be quiet. V'lo yachlu la'agid beis avasam v'zaram ima yisrael haim. That's a quote from the pasuk. And the Gemara says, Zehu asufi shenesaf minashuk. So that's a reference to people who are unable to identify neither their mother nor father. They were just simply left in the marketplace and they were rejected. Kruvadon ve'amar. Okay, another location that's mentioned in the pasuk in Nehemiah is this Kruvadon ve'amar. Amar Abi Abahu. So now what we're going to do is we're going to darshan this pasuk, and the drasha goes like this. Amar Adon ani amarti yu yisrael lifanai chashuvim kekruv. This is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's statement regarding the Jewish people. I wanted them to be like Kruvim. Okay. The Kruvim. Those that sat on top of the Aron facing one another, faces looking like children, basically angelic. That's what I wanted the Jewish people to look like. Vehem samuatzmam kenamer. And meanwhile, how do they look? They look like leopards. We know the Rav Yehuda ben Tema. It's brought down the first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Have az kenamer. So they have to be brazen. Now, generally speaking, Oz's brazenness is not the best quality. So, in other words, like all qualities. So, it's, you got to use it for good, you can't use it for bad. But basically, instead of being angelic, so we were like Namir, we were like leopards. And Rashi over here points out that, and you got to, you got to speak to your local zoologist. But Rashi over here points out that the Namir was not a monogamous animal. And that's how we behaved. Igad Amri Amr Rabbi Abahu Amr Adon Afapisha Samu Atzmam Kenamer Hein Chashum Lefnai Kekrov. Now the second version has a little bit better, which it's a little more conciliatory, where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Look, I know they're behaving like Namer, and I know that they're not having a fidelity in their relationships. But you know what? I look at them like Kruvim. I still look at them as angelic. Okay, and okay." Whether HaKadosh, we've seen this earlier in the Masechta, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us, and despite the fact that we sometimes misbehave, he's happy, or like the first opinion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unhappy. Again, however, we're supposed to understand that. Amar Rabba Barbachana Kolanose Isha Sheino Geneslo Mala Lavakasov Ki Ilu Kharshola Khola Olam Kulavazaro Melach. Okay, as long as we're here in this Pasuk in Nechemiah, the Gemara has other drushas that it learns and the Gemara quotes. Anyone who marries a woman who is not appropriate to him. Okay, not exactly clear in the Gemara, what does it mean Eino Hogeneslo is not appropriate to him? Meaning the Gemara could be talking about a full blown Isser, or Gemara could also just simply mean it's not a right shidduch. It's not a good shidduch. But it's as if you plow the entire world and you planted salt, meaning it's unproductive and nothing good will come from it. Shenemar ve'elo ha'olam mital malach tel charasha. Okay, and the Gemara uses the pasuk in Nechemiah to establish its point. Amarava baravada, amarav kolanosi isha l'shem mamon. How about marrying a woman for money? So ha'avilam binin banim sheinim huganim. So the result of that marriage is that your children are going to be inappropriate. Now again, the word inappropriate over here, I'd love it if the Gemara and or Rashi give a little bit better description of what that means, inappropriate. I certainly, the sense we get is that it's not good, obviously. But outside of that, exactly what the Gemara means, I'd like to know a little bit better, and I'm just admitting I don't. Shenemar b'Hashem bagdu ki banim zarim iladu. Okay, so you're going to have banim zarim. You're going to have strange children. So if you're marrying a woman just for her money. Vishema tamar mama on palat. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm ready to take the consequences. Okay, so what is it? So it's everything in life is a give and take. So I'll marry a woman for the money. But at least I'll have the money. Okay, so I understand the children are not going to be good, but I'm ready to make that exchange, right? Bad children for money and life. So the Gemara says, tamalomer atay yochlem chodesh eschalkeim. You're not going to be able to keep the money. The money's going to get lost as well. Vishema tamar chalka v'lo chalka. So the Gemara says, okay, but not all the money. Meaning in a marriage, basically, there is his money and her money. Now, what does that mean, his money and her money? So Rashi over here says, and we've gone through Ksuva, so we basically know this distinction, that when a woman gets married, so some of her assets and some of her property, she totally gives over to her husband, and that's what's called Nechsei Tzon Barzel. Now, if the marriage terminates, he's got to reimburse her for all that, but essentially, that's his. And then there's what's called Nechsei Malug. Nechsei Malug is essentially hers. And now he's able to benefit from the peros, but essentially it's hers. So now the Gemara says, so maybe you can make the argument that, look, he'll lose his portion of the estate, but she'll be able to keep hers. So the Gemara says, that's also not going to happen, because the Navi, again, speaks very clearly that they're going to lose both of their portions. Okay, but at least we'll enjoy the money for some time. I mean, we're not going to lose it immediately. So the Gemara says, nope, you're going to lose it, and you're going to lose it pretty quick. So within 1 month's time, you're going to be losing the money. So the Gemara says that he marry a woman for money, so you're going to get nothing. You're not going to have good children, and you're not going to have money, not her side of the money, not his side of the money, and the money will be lost very quickly. Man marries a woman who is not appropriate to him, so he will be tied up by Eliyahu, and Akash Baruch Hu will give him Ritzia, he'll give him lashes. This Eliyahu mentioned over here, so my go-to pshat would have been that this is a reference to Eliyahu Hanavi, although if you take a look at Rashi over here, where the Rashi admittedly is in the parentheses, but if you take a look at Rashi, Eliyahu Kosev, skip that part of Rashi, go to the parentheses of Rashi, Hi Eliyahu, love Eliyahu, Dichzib Mikrahu, Dimke, Mikamen Dehava Asay, Man Kafte. So this cannot be a reference to Eliyahu when it was mentioned in the Navi, because there was life before Eliyahu. So therefore, Elashem Malachu Shu Sofer Lamala. So this is a reference to a particular Malach by the name of Eliyahu. Okay. Although admittedly, that's in the parentheses, so it's not clear whether or not this is actually part of Rashi, but either way. Okay, Vitana al Kulam, back to the Gemara, right in the middle of the Amud Anayin Amud Aleph. Vitana al Kulam, Eliyahu Kosev, Akash Baruch Hu Chosem. Eliyahu writes it up, and Akash Baruch Hu signs on it. Oilo Laposo, Zaro Lapogim, Spashachto, Ulanos, Isha Sheino, Gedeslo. Woe to the person who impugns their children, impugns their whole entire family, and marries a woman who is inappropriate to him. Certainly from this Gemara, and then the Gemara repeats, Eliyahu Koftov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rotso. Certainly from this Gemara, it sounds like Eino Hogenes means it's just simply more than just being quote-unquote inappropriate. It means somebody who really you're not allowed to marry. It's prohibited for you to marry. That's certainly the sense I get from this Gemara. V'chol HaPosel, Pusel, V'eino Midaber B'Shavcha La'olam. Anyone who's puzzled. No, in other words, anyone who is genealogically unfit. So the Gemara says puzzle. So chola posel puzzle. He's going to find other people unfit as well. Meaning he's going to be just simply a negative individual. And he's unable to say positive things. So a person who has this genealogical taint is just going to be a curmudgeon, just somebody negative and unable to produce a nice word. The Amr Shmuel, and Shmuel goes one step further, B'muma Posel. And the psychologists love this. But when they disqualify other people, they're going to disqualify other people with the same thing that they themselves are disqualified. Right? Projection. They're going to project on other people. And now the Gemara tells the story. Now this story is great. And this story is going to take us through most of the rest of today's daf. And it begins right now. A man from Narada who went to the butcher in Pumbedisa, Amar Lahu Havali Bisra. And you're at the butcher, so he's ordering meat. So Amr Leh, so the butcher says to him, Nata Adeshakal Hashame, Derav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, V'nei Savlach. So the first time in historical account where the butcher says, take a number. Okay, and so it's the first time. And he says, look, I have right now sitting here in the butcher, the attendant of Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, Rashi points out, that is Rav Yehuda, meaning throughout the Gemara, a Talmud of Rav. Actually, he had two Rebbeim in his life. He had Shmuel as his Rebbe, and he had Rav as his Rebbe as well. So, other way around. First Rav, and then Shmuel. Okay, so Rav Yehuda. The Rav Shmuel always referred to him as Shinana. Okay, the famous Rav Yehuda. And the attendant of Rav Yehuda was in the butcher shop, and as Rashi points out over here, Rav Yehuda was the Rosh HaYeshiva, really the Marda Asra of Pumbedisa. So basically, the attendant of Rav Yehuda was there in the butcher shop. So the butcher just told this guy, look, I'll get to you. First, I'm going to take care of the attendant of Rav Yehuda, and then I'll take care of you. Okay. Amar man Yehuda bar Shviskel dekadam li shakalman kamai. So now his response was, who is this Yehuda bar Shviskel? Now you'll notice that he doesn't say Yehuda bar Yecheskel, he says Yehuda bar Shviskel. So first of all, already, the telltale signs that this person is not a good person is very clear. First of all, he's objecting to the fact that he has to wait. And number two, he's referring to Yehuda as Yehuda bar Shviskel, and Rashi over here says that's pejorative. Meaning Rashi over here says that this is a reference to basically a gargaron, meaning he's calling him a fresser. He's calling him just like an eater.
Glutton.
A glutton. So, So Azlo Amrle le Rav Yehuda. So now the report came back to Rav Yehuda. Okay, now I know, you're right, that's, you know, sounds like Lashon Hara. I know. But they reported it back to Rav Yehuda. So Shamte. So Rav Yehuda puts him in Chayrim. So Amr Ragel to Kari Inshi Avde. Now you know this person habitually refers to other people as Avadim. Ooh, okay. Achriz Aleha da Avdehu. So then Rav Yehuda says, okay, I'm going to now make a public proclamation that this person is an Eved. Now, why did he do that? Well, we know the reason why. Because of the statement that we learned by Shmuel. Right. That kol haposo bemumo poso. That when you disqualify somebody else, you're disqualifying them based on your own disqualification. He calls other people avadim. He's an Eved. Azal hu azman eladina. Now, this person who was now publicly proclaimed as an Eved from Rav Yehuda, he took Rav Yehuda to court. Defamation of character. What proof does Rav Yehuda have that I'm an Eved? This is ridiculous. So he takes Rav Yehuda to court. Azu Azman Eladina Lakamet to Rav Nachman. Now he takes him not to any court, but he takes him to the court of Rav Nachman. Aisu Pitka da Azmana. And Rav Yehuda gets subpoenaed to go to court. Now this is very strange because Rav Yehuda is the leader of Pumbedisa. He's the Mar Da'asra. And so him being called to court is right. It's like the leader of your community, whatever. He was a man of stature, and he's being subpoenaed to court. Azo Rav Yehuda l'kamed de Rav Huna amarle azo lo azo. So now Rav Yehuda says, I don't know what to do over here, and I don't want to make this decision on my own. So he consults with Rav Huna, and he says to Rav Huna, these are students of Ralph. So he says to Rav Huna, should I or should I not go to court? What do you think? So Rav Huna says, look, fundamentally, you don't need to go to court. You're Gavar Rabba. You're the leader of our generation. But, you know, presiding over the court is Rav Nachman. And he's the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. And you know what? I think it would be to your political advantage where, out of respect for the Bein Nasi, you should go to court. So now, this is where it gets great. So now, Rav Yehuda confronts Rav Nachman. Now, at the time when he and basically to honor his subpoena, and he was subpoenaed, so now he's going to honor it. So now he's going to go to court. So he visits Rav Nachman. Now, in my mind, you know, the home, the court, it's all the same. It's all the same thing. It's, you know, it's not this, you know, very fancy edifice. But anyway, so Rav Nachman was there. Rav Nachman was putting up a fence. Halacha is a mitzvah in the Torah that when you have a roof, so you got to make a fence so that people don't fall off your roof. So that's what Rav Nachman was doing at the time. So Amar Leilo Savala Amar Lahad Amar Rav Huna Bar Idi Amar Shmuel Kevin Shenisnam Ne'adam Parnos Alitzi Barasav Basias Malacha Bifnei Shlosha. So wait 1 second. So Rav Yehuda now starts chastising Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, what are you doing? You're doing laborious activity. And once you are the leader of a community, it is beneath you to do something public like this. To start building and doing construction and doing this kind of menial labor when you're the partner of Tzibur. And you shouldn't be doing it. Now, in other words, it's not that you shouldn't be doing it, period. It's not becoming for you to do it publicly in front of three people. So Amalei Porta de Gun. And oh, by the way, one of the observations I made in going over this Gemara, you know, before today's daf, is that I'm almost absolutely right. Every time Rav Yehuda is going to quote a halacha to Rav Nachman, we're going to go over a number of halachas together. So he's going to quote halachas that were said over in Shmuel. So first of all, as I mentioned earlier, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Shmuel. But furthermore, Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Shmuel. So basically, it's like Rav Yehuda is also kind of intimating, like, you know, your Rebbe said this and your Rebbe said that, and like, you should be listening more to your Rebbe. That's, you know, one of the hidden messages of these Gemaras.
So obviously, Rav Yehuda was walking with his two attendants.
Before Shlosha. Oh, yeah. Very good. So Amalei Porta de Gunga Disa Hu de Kavidna. He says, I'm just putting together a little fence. Like this isn't major work. I'm not doing major construction over here. I'm just putting up a fence. So Amalei Misanya Maka Dichsib Barai. So once again, Rav Yehuda says to Rav Nachman, what kind of words are you using? You're describing a fence. So use the word Maka, which is in the Torah. Oh, Mechitza Damar Rabban. No, use the word Mechitza that's described in the Lashon HaChachamim. So, but what kind of words are you using? You're using kind of, you know, like street language, which is again unbecoming of you. Amalei, huh? Yeah, right. 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 By the end of the story, you're going to think to yourself, like, you'll see. Yeah. The story gets better. Okay, let's go through the story. Yosef Mar Arkapita. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, would you like to sit down on the bench? Now the word that he uses for bench again is like street language. So again, Rav Yehuda says to Rav Nachman, what kind of words are you using? Right? Safsal is a word that's used by the Chachamim. Itztaba is, you know, what you know, the normal people would say. And again, what kind of language are you using? Amale lechamar esrugna. So he says, would you like to eat an esrog? Now, Amar Le, Hachi Amar Shmuel. So this is what Shmuel says. Again, another jab. So this is what Shmuel says. Call Omer Esrugna Tilsa Baramas Rucha. So anyone who uses that kind of language, so he's arrogant. A third arrogant. Oh, Esrog Kedekir Rabbanan, oh, Esroga Damri Inshi. Now, Esrog, which is what the Lashon of the Chachamim are, or Esroga, which is what people use. But again, the way you refer to it as, it's not becoming. Amar Le, Lishne Mar Anagva. So, Anavga. So, do you want to have a cup? This is some sort of beverage. Okay? I don't think it was a light beverage. But anyway. So, Amalei Misani Ispargos de Karabanan. Oh, Anpik Damri Inshi. Again, what kind of language are you using? Rav Yehuda says to Rav Nachman. You know, the Chachamim refer to the beverage as Ispargos. People refer to it as Anpak. And again, you're giving it this like, you're using a colloquial language which is just not becoming of you. Amalei Tesi Dunag Tishkaya. So, should I call my daughter Dunag to go in to serve you? Amalei Hachem Shmuel. And again, he says to them, this is what Shmuel says. Another jab. So ein mishamshim beisha. So you're not allowed to make use of a woman, meaning you can't exploit a woman to serve. So kitanehi. So Rav Yehuda says, oh no, she's a minor. It's okay. Beferish amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda says to Rav Nachman, what do you mean? Shmuel would be against that as well. Ein mishamshim beisha klal ben gadola ben kitana. You're not allowed to use a woman at all, not as a gadola, not as a kitana. So nishada mar shamel yalta. Would you like to send regards to my wife Yalta? And again, he says, this is what Shmuel says. Call the Isha Erva. So he says, what do you mean? You want me to talk to your wife? I'm not going to talk to your wife. Call the Isha Erva. It's totally inappropriate for me to talk to your wife. She's going to talk to me, and she'll talk in like a sing-song fashion, and that's just beyond inappropriate. Efsha Yidei Shliach. All right, so you could send regards to my wife through a Shliach. So Amalei Hachem Shmuel. So once again, he quotes Shmuel. Right. By the way, my observation, so it's so obvious. Like, I'm not going to take any credit for this. In other words, he keeps quoting Shmuel again and again. Ein shalom b'shalom isha. So you're not allowed to make an inquiry to a woman. And the take a look at Rashi over here on the top. Rashi writes, Shem and Mitoch Sheila Shalom, you regilim ze im ze ayyede shluchim viavoli de chiba. In other words, this is the kind of behavior where, in other words, there's nothing wrong with saying hello and good morning and being nice and courteous, but this is now we're talking about basically making right. This is flirtation. And a form of flirtation, it's just simply inappropriate because one thing will lead to the next. And so this is Rav Yehuda saying to Rav Nachman, what are you suggesting? So Al Yidei Bala, so what about this? This is now, again, Rav Yehuda's kind of trying to save face, and he's not doing a great job in doing so. So he says, okay, but how about just sending regards through me? Meaning that's not flirtation. I'm her husband. Isn't that okay? Amalei Hachem Shmuel Ein Shalom B'Shalom Isha Klal. So once again, Rav Yehuda quotes Shmuel, and he says, "No, not at all." Shachle Devesaihu. So now, finally, Yalta interjects, and you knew this was going to happen. Now, I say you knew this was going to happen if you know the relationship of Rav Nachman and Yalta. They had the most interesting relationship in all of Shas. I'll say that as a superlative.
But I think Rav Nachman himself is a pretty rough guy. He's very surprising.
Right. And that it's funny. Yes, and then you put him up against Rav Yehuda. Meaning, you're right. So Yalta interjects, and Yalta says, "Shari le tigre de lo nishve kishar ama'aretz." So Yalta says, "Look, you're trying your best to save face, and it's not working out. And why don't you just take care of matters, whatever matters he came here for, and let him move on? Because you know, and she says this, you're looking like an ama'aretz in this conversation. And why don't you put this conversation mercifully to an end?" Good advice. So Amar Le Mai Shaita Damar Hacha. So Rav Nachman listens to his wife, and Rav Nachman turns to Rav Yehuda, and Rav Nachman says, "Okay, what are you doing here?" So Amar Le Taska da hazmanasa shadamar abasrai. You sent me a subpoena. I'm here to honor the subpoena. Right? You don't know you don't know why I'm here? So Amarle Hashta Shusa Damar Logamina Taska Daz Manasa Meshajir Lamar. So now Rav Nachman says, look, I don't even know how to converse with you. Meaning clearly everything I said was wrong. Every suggestion that I made was wrong. Every word I used was wrong. You think I'm going to send you a subpoena? Like, that's chutzpah on my part, says Rav Nachman, to ask you to come to my court. Like, why would I do that? Which only begs the question, why did he do that? Meaning, is at this point in time now, is Rav Nachman now regretting that he did it, or he legitimately didn't know? That part's not clear from the Gemara. But okay, so he's kind of in amazement. He's saying, really? I subpoenaed you to come to my court? That's strange. Apik diska das manasa So Rav Yehuda says, really, you don't think you sent me a subpoena? Takes it out of his pocket, shows it to him, and says, Amarle, Hagavra Vahadiska. Here's me, here's the subpoena. Okay, we're all good. Okay? We're all literally now on the same page. You subpoenaed me, here's the subpoena, I'm here, let's go. Okay, so let's go. So Amarle Hovasamarlahakalishtaimilakihlamarmechanfarabananahadadeh. So Rav Nachman says, look, we're all here right now, so let's go through the court procedure. Because I do not want people to say that I'm mechanif rabbanan. That I show flattery to the favoritism to the Chachamim, and you know, I'm not, at this point in time, I can't wave off the case. So fine, we're going to go through with it. So Amalei, my time is Shamte Marlahu Gavra. Okay, so now the other litigant had to have been there, because as a basic rule in Dayanus, you can't listen to a case without the other litigant being there. So although, at this point in time, we have not heard of the other litigant being in court, but he was there. It has to be. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a case. So it wouldn't be a court. So my time is Shamte Marlahu Gavra. So how come you put this man in Chayram? So Tzir Shlicha D'Rabbanan V'Nagdei. I'm sorry. Tzir Shlicha D'Rabbanan. Because my attendant was in the butcher, and he arrested my attendant. So V'Nagdei Mar. The Rav Mangir Aman de Mitzar Shlucha de Rabbanan. So Rav Nachman says, okay, fine, but give him Malkus. Meaning, to do what you did seems to be above what you should have done. You should have just given him Malkus. So the Gemara says, Da'adif mine Avdilei. So he says, what do you mean? I did more than just give him Malkus. I also refer to him as an Evid. My time after is Marale Davdahu. So Rav Nachman says, so why did you do that? Amalei deragel dekari in she'avde. So he says, I'll tell you why. Because he calls other people avadim. So I'm calling him an evid. I feel that to be correct. Utani, and I have a brisa supporting that, call a posel apostle, ve'ena medabe b'shivcha la'olam. Again, anyone who's disqualified is going to disqualify other people and has nothing positive to say about other people. And furthermore, v'amar shmo b'mum apostle. Not only that, but you disqualify using whatever you are disqualified with, you use and project on other people. To which Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, whoa, slow down. You can suspect that he's an Eved, but you can't conclude that he's an Eved. And furthermore, you're now going to announce it to other people that he's an Eved? Look, what Shmuel meant was that simply, it's a fair suspicion. But you're going now, and you're drawing a conclusion that seems to be much. Skip the parentheses. And another person corroborates, yeah, you know, that guy, he referred to me as an Evid. Meaning... The litigant says, you're referring to me as an Eved. The Asina mi beis chashmonai malka. So he says, not only am I not an Eved, I'm going to go one step further. I am a descendant of the beis chashmonai. So I come from monarchy, and I have yichus. Amar lei, so to which Rav Yehuda now turns to this guy and says, you sealed your own fate. Not only am I right, but I'm really right. Amar lehachi amar Shmuel called the amar mid the base chashmonai kasina avdehu. Anyone who makes the claim that they're from base chashmonai is in fact an evet. Amar lelo several amar lahad amar ab ava amar avuna amar rav. Now he quotes a halacha in the name of Rav called tamachachem shemar halacha uva im kodemaisa amar shomim lo vi im lavin shomim lo. To which he says, "Then wait one second. You're saying this now only after he announced that he was from Beit Chashmonai. Wait one second. If you are, have been saying this halacha for many times over, and then the incident occurs, so then of course we're going to listen. But now you're saying over the halacha after he said he was from Beit Chashmonai, and now it's not coming from an objective place. And right now we're not in a position where we could follow this halacha. Amalei ha'ika Rav Masa dekai kavasi. So he says, you want to hear from an objective source? Fine. Rav Masa has been saying this forever. And Rav Masna lochazal on a dat place arshni. Now it hasn't been that 13 years of Rav Masna has not visited. How yuma also now happens to be coincidence. Put that word in quotes. Coincidence. Rav Masna now comes in to Naradan that day. Amalei dak yamar my amar Shmuel. Do you remember what Shmuel said? Ki kai chadakara aguda v'chadakara b'mavra. One foot was on the riverbank, the other foot was on the boat. And you remember what Shmuel said at that point in time? Amalei hachem Shmuel. He says, sure, I remember what Shmuel said. Kol da'amar min de'beit chashmonai, malka ka'asina avdehu. Anyone who claims they're from Beit Chashmonai is in fact an eved. De'lo ishtar minayu elahu revisa. And nobody survived from Beit Chashmonai. And the Ramban writes in Chumash that the Chashmonaim were punished over the fact that they took over the Malucha. They were Kohanim. And there needed to be a separation between Kohanim and state. And they took over state. And that was, and the Ramban writes, I'm just quoting the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi. And the Ramban writes over there, not right what they did. And as part of the punishment, so the entire family was lost. And there was one girl that was left from the family. The Saukal Igra, Viram Yakala. She went to the roof. She raised her voice. Va'amra called Amri Beis Chashmonai Ana Avdehu. And she said, there's nobody left from Beis Chashmonai, and anyone claiming to be from Beis Chashmonai is in fact Avadim. And this historically goes back to Herod. I'm not gonna belabor the point right now, but this historically goes back to Herod. Herod himself, who assumed the throne, and he himself was an Eved, and he claimed that he was from Beit Chashmonai, but the fact of the matter is, he was an Eved. So Nafla Meigro Mesa, and then she committed suicide, because she herself did not want to be part of all this, suffering from depression. So, Achra Zaleh de Avda Hu. So, at that point in time, they made now a proclamation that this litigant was in fact an Eved. So, in addition to the fact that he was calling everybody Avadim, and based on the rule of Shmuel, that call a posel, but mumo posel, so that's one evident piece of evidence that he was an Eved. And now we're going to couple that together with the other halacha that was set over by Shmuel and was set over by Rav Masna, and that is that if you claim you're from Beit Chashmonai, that's another piece of evidence that this person was in fact an Eved. And so Rav Nachman concluded in the court case that this man was in fact an Eved. There's an epilogue to the story. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the epilogue of the story between Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, and this litigant. And okay, Adkan. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.